Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us on Blog Talk Radio. We do so appreciate you, your calling in on tonight and being with us as we discuss the matter of the shame that's associated with domestic violence. And we are definitely going to open with a word of prayer, and then we're just going to go into our discussion. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh, Lord God, we just pray now for those who are listening in, oh, God. We pray now, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would make yourself known, oh, Lord God. We pray now, God, that you would make yourself known as a covering, oh, Lord God. Make yourself known, oh, Lord God, as the God who stays, oh, Lord God, as the God who covers, the Lord God, our banner, oh, God. Make yourself known to them, oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God, that every hit and hurt, every emotional scar, God, that came from domestic violence, that came from witnessing domestic violence, God, that it will be gone in Jesus' name, God. We pray now, God, for their listeners, for every listener, that they will be delivered and set free, oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. And now unto him who is able, oh, Lord God, we thank you, God, that you are able to keep us from falling, God, and that you are able to present us faultless before the coming of your glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be both power and dominion now and forever. Amen, amen, and amen. I want to first and foremost read a letter to you from someone. I put an excerpt of it in the details of our Blog Talk Radio, but I wanted to read it to you in detail. And the letter to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, it's almost 11 p.m., as you well know. I've gone to bed early so I can get up and go to work in the morning, awakened by what seems to be a tilted husband wanting money. I'm disgusted because I know my children are ashamed of how I let them treat me. I'm ashamed of myself because I've let him humiliate me so in the past and build up such a fear of what he would do or could do until I don't stand up to him. I know we are a dysfunctional marriage, but I feel helpless. Lord, you know that I do love you so. I know I must start setting my own goals. I must acquire my own personal vision or I will perish. Each day, it seems I go through a defeated life. I realize that the enemy has control of me and not you. I know what it's like to live each day with you, to feel victorious over every situation. I want you to take over my life. I'll start tithing with this check. And if he wants to live in defeat, that's on him. I want victory. Victory over every situation, over every circumstance. Guide me over Great Jehovah. And this is a letter that was written by someone who was going through domestic violence. And I can identify with the fact of feeling shame. Most people who are going through domestic violence may have come out of domestic violence, find themselves in a place of feeling a lot of shame and a lot of guilt. And on tonight, we want to talk about that because we do want you to be set free from guilt and from shame. We understand that shame is something, it's an emotion, and unfortunately it can be a derogatory emotion that can kind of hold you back from getting to that place you need to be in God. It can cause you to become isolated from other people. It can cause you to withdraw and go into a depression. It can cause you, a lot of negative effects can come from the spirit, if you will, the spirit of shame. And so we know that the Bible says that there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, and that God does not want us to feel condemned. He does not want us to go into a deep negative place of shame. I wanted to read with you also, those of you that have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalms 25. As I was preparing this lesson, there's some great things came out of my looking into this. So if you will be patient with me for a minute as we turn in our Bible to the book of Psalms. Those of you that have your Bibles yet again, the book of Psalms. And I want you to look at the 20th turning with me. Psalms 25, verses 1 through 5 says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy path. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I want all day." And so as we begin to look at this psalm in reflections, or as we look at the letter that was written, we understand that her shame had caused her to feel like she was a disappointment to her children and things of that nature. But in this particular psalm, it says that the psalmist is asking God, and this is the psalm of David. David was asking God, "Don't let me be ashamed. Don't let me be ashamed." So just in looking at that, the spirit of shame, actually we can denote from this, the spirit of shame is not something that's God, and it's not something that God desires that we be. So even though you've gone through a domestic violence situation, it's not something that God wants you to hang on to the shame and hang on to the guilt of it. You know, when I was looking it up and studying about the shame and guilt, I wanted to put shame and guilt together. But as I began to look at it a little more closely, my finding was that guilt is something that a person who has done wrong should feel. They should feel guilty. You know, it denotes that you've done something wrong. And since we know that a person that's in domestic violence or a person that's going through domestic violence is not a person of guilt, we don't feel like that's a word. I didn't feel like that would be an appropriate word to use when describing them. But the shame that comes, I do know it firsthand, because the letter that I read on tonight was a letter that I wrote myself. The letter was dated back in 1996 when I was going through domestic violence, and I would watch my children's faces as I was going through all of these tumultuous situations, and I just felt like they were ashamed of me. But I did not let that shame or that incident grip me to a place, as you hear in my letter, I didn't let it grip me to a place that it stopped me from trying to do better. In fact, I began to ask God. The first part of the letter was talking about the shame, but the second part of the letter, as I got to an end, and as the Holy Spirit began to stir up in me and let me realize, reminding me of the victories that I had won through knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, I'm about to shout right now, the victories that I had won through knowing Jesus Christ, and that if God had brought me through those victories, he would bring me out of this thing that I had found myself in. I was trying not to do that. And so when we begin to look at the person that's going through domestic violence, I just want to let you know that God can pull you out of the shame of it. Even if you're going through it right now, even if you're going through domestic violence right now, perhaps you're going through some type of verbal abuse or emotional abuse or whatever it is, I am a living witness. God can wrench you clean of the shame that's associated with domestic violence. And so shame is actually a consequence that we need to come to a point of understanding and knowing that shame is a consequence of somebody that's going through something that's so heavy laden and that's so tumultuous that it comes up on them. But again, shame is not associated with something or the embarrassment of it, because you don't want people to know what you're going through. And then if you see that people know that you're going through it, you even feel more belittled. You feel even more shame because people know about it and you feel like it's not something that you should have found yourself in. So in the book of Ezekiel, there are two scriptures again that I want to share with you, those of you that have your Bible, or perhaps you just want to write these scriptures down. One is Jeremiah 3:3, and the other one is Ezekiel 16. Verse 54, and then you're going to pick up with verse 58 through verse 61. Let's go over Jeremiah 3:3. It says, "Therefore the showers have been withheld, and no spring rains have fallen. Yet you have the brazen look of a prostitute who refuses to blush with shame. And so it was talking about, this particular shame was talking about when you've done something and the guilt of the thing that hasn't come upon you. And it was saying that in the book of Jeremiah, he was telling them that, you know, you don't even look like the thing that's happening is bothering you. And I would even go and venture to say that it should be talking about the guilt of it, that you should feel some guilt of it. Ezekiel 16:54 says, so you have so that you may bear your disgrace and be ashamed of all you have done, you will bear the consequences of your lewdness and your detestable practices. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I will deal with you as you deserve, yet I will remember the covenant I made with you in the days of your youth, and I will establish an everlasting covenant with you, that you will remember your ways and be ashamed. Again, these particular scriptures are talking about a person, and I would again venture to say, should be saying that you should feel guilty. You should feel some remorse. And it's talking about those who wronged somebody. Your perpetrator is the one who should be ashamed, and not you. The perpetrator, again, is talking about bearing the consequences of your lewdness and your detestable practices. The perpetrator is the one. So we've got it twisted. If you're going through domestic violence and you're the one who is on the end of the violence, you shouldn't be ashamed. But that person that's perpetrating it, the person that's doing it, they should definitely be ashamed of what they're doing. They should definitely feel guilt about what they're doing. And God would have me to stand and tell you on today that he's trying to raise you up out of the shame that's associated with it. Again, because you have done nothing wrong. And so we just wanted to begin to share that with you on today and begin to turn the tables, if you will, and begin to point the shame and the blame on the right person, the right perpetrator. And that, my sister, or even my brother, if you are the end of it, is not you. And so God has placed emotions and things within us to help us get past some things. And shame is one of those ones where, again, it shouldn't be the person that's actually is on the receiving end of the domestic violence, but it should actually be the person who is perpetrating it. So shame effects are more damaging than those of guilt. When you, again, when you're going through a thing of shame, it can put you in a position of where you become isolated, you don't want to talk, you walk around, you're not a person who's walking in self-confidence or knowing who you are in Christ, but you're taking down to what God has called you to be. Remember, the Bible says that God has fearfully, he has made you, he fearfully and wonderfully made are you. And that when God made you, he made a marvelous work. But shame, when shame comes, it can bring a thing where you become detestable even with yourself. You look at yourself as something that's not good. And God does not desire that you did. You can begin your worth, the word God, your God worth, if I can just say it like that. Your God worth is something that has been put on the line. And God does not want you to begin to look at yourself and shame. And so when we look at it, when we understand it, we have to begin to raise ourselves up and come out of that low self-esteem and begin to understand that God esteem needs to form in you. And you need to realize who you are in Christ and how God made you to be. When we look at the verse again, that's in Psalms 25, he said, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul? And when we talk about the soul, that's your mind, your intellect, your mindset has got to begin to change about who you are and who you are in God. Come on, somebody. I don't care what somebody told you, verbally abusing you and telling you that you're no good, that you're stupid, that you're an idiot. No, they're not the one who dictate who you are. Remember, God made you, and God, when he made you, he stepped back and looked at you and said, oh, that's a good thing. I've made a good thing. And so you've got to begin to lift up your soul. Lift up the way you're thinking about you. Begin to see yourself as God sees you. Even though you've been beat down verbally about that thing and shame has come in and tried to overtake you, shake it off. Begin to understand who you are in Christ. He says, oh, my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, and let not mine enemies triumph over me. I don't want to even begin to try to act like, you know, your perpetrator per se is your enemy, because I do believe that there is a force, a demonic force, that pushes a person to become violent. And I believe that a person who has become violent perhaps could be a person who witnessed domestic violence at a young age themselves. That could be a whole lot of criteria and reason why that person is doing it. But the Bible says that we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against wickedness and rulers and high places, that those are the things that we begin to war over. But the scriptures also tells us, oh, my God, the glory. The scriptures also tells us that God has given you power over the devil, over every serpent, that you have power over that thing, and that if you can begin, again, begin to change your mindset and begin to understand who you are in Christ. So you don't have to try to war against it the way the world war against it. You don't have to try to fight back, but there is a spiritual war that you can begin to wage against that violence that you're going through as you get yourself in a place of safety. There is a position of a raging war that you can begin to do, and it's spiritual. It is spiritual. Amen. Hallelujah. So as we begin to look at the scripture, he said, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. You know, if you're a person and you've been waiting on God, you're going through some things and you know the Lord in spite of your sins, I don't know whatever faith that you may be of, hallelujah, but if that faith believes in the power and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he says in this particular scripture that let none that wait on you be ashamed. Hallelujah. And so we just even now begin to pray for you wherever you are. If you are feeling shame, if you're feeling condemnation, if you're feeling belittled from going through some things or having experienced any type of violence, whether it's physical abuse or whether it's verbal abuse, emotional abuse, and shame is trying to overtake you to make you feel less than what you are, I speak now to your spirit man, and I say, rise up and be who God has called you to be. Do not be ashamed. Hallelujah. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Amen. And that's going back to the two scriptures that we just read in Jeremiah and that we just read in Ezekiel. It's the perpetrator who should feel the shame and not you. Amen. 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 So it says, show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me thy path. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. Thou art the God of my salvation. I want you to hear that. Thou art the God of my salvation. God has come to save. He is a very present help in the time of need. Amen. So he is the God of your salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. And so as you just begin to look at that, as you just begin to stand and know who God is so that you can get through it. A question that is proposed, it says, why is saying shame so difficult to get through? Shame is a feeling that exposes you to others. Shame is a feeling that exposes you to others. And the exposing is things that you, even in your own mind, have deemed that is not right. And so when it's exposed or when others see it, then shame comes in. You've been put on display with something bad, and you're trying to hide it from people. And one of the biggest things, or one of the things that I say often on the Blog Talk Radio or just in teaching, is that one of the biggest weapons of domestic violence is silence. Silence is the strongest weapon that domestic violence has. And so when you're trying to hide from people, when you're trying to keep it a secret, when you're trying to sweep it under the rug, shame comes. It's shame is to notify you of your weak points. You perhaps feel like you're weak. Even if you'll go back and kind of rehash what I said from my letter, I said, I feel so ashamed and I feel weak. I felt weak. I felt like I had let the fear of what could happen to me have become my own jail cell. My God. It had become my jail cell, and I was locked up in the shame of that thing. Well, today God has come to set you free. Hallelujah. I feel like shouting. God has come to set you free. Amen. It's the shame of the shame brings with it the fact that it could be uncovered. You become ashamed of yourself. You become ashamed of people seeing you in the position of being violence, and you feel like you shouldn't. And keep in mind, domestic violence is domestic violence is open to everybody. It has no problems with what your gender is. It knows no shame or doesn't hold it against you for whatever your background is, whatever race you are. Amen. It's an equal opportunity demon. Come on, somebody. It's an equal opportunity demon. So it doesn't care about your race. It doesn't care about your ethnicity. It doesn't care, you know, whether or not you are a woman in a high executive position or you can be a woman that just cleans house. It's an equal opportunity demonic force that comes against you or that's trying to keep you on the low end of this thing and keep you quiet and not saying anything, or freeze you into bondage of fear so that you're not ready to try to escape its grips. Amen. But on today, God has sent a remnant. On today, God desires that you be set free from that thing and that you begin to do what it needs to become free. And so this is saying that shame is a complex emotion that all humans acquire at early age. It's normal feeling about ourselves, and I tend to disagree with it being a normal feeling. I don't the normal feeling, but I think that it's a known feeling. It's a feeling that a lot of people have experienced, but God doesn't desire for shame, especially for those who love him, to have to experience the shame. Amen. I hope I'm making sense to you. And so we have got to begin to get to a point that we see the root of the dysfunction that can come along with experiencing shame and that we deal with it. Amen. We have to begin to deal with the effects of shame. So if you're finding yourself in a position where you don't want to speak up for yourself, if you've become timid and passive in this situation, that can be also the remnants or the extension of going through shame, of going through fear and things of that nature. So we definitely want to loose ourselves. We definitely want to be free of shame. We want to be free of shame. And so when we look at it, many violent behaviors can lead back to a deep well of shame. And so as we begin to search ourselves, as we begin to look into it, and not only that, the shame also can be extended over to your children. Like I was saying in my letter was that I felt like my children were ashamed of me as well because they didn't understand how their mother, a strong woman, a working woman, had found herself in a position of domestic violence. And then they didn't understand why was I staying in it? Why are we staying in this? And so we have to begin to look at this and do what it takes to become free from the shame of domestic violence. Become free, to free yourself, because that's God's desire for you. One of the scriptures that I was thinking about on today, as I was thinking about and meditating on, talking to you and coming to you today about shame, was the woman who was caught in adultery. And I know that particular scripture, definitely can have to do with abuse, the fear of being stoned to death. This woman was in danger of being stoned to death. And the Bible talks about how she was caught in the very act of adultery. Unfortunately, she was the only one who was brought. The man who was with her, unfortunately, was not there. And so she was brought before them. They were getting ready to stone her. And then Jesus begins to minister to her. He begins to talk to her. And he asks her, I'm sorry, that's the country in me, in the book of John, the 8th chapter, he asks her, where did they go? And where are those who had condemned you? And the woman answered, no one, sir. And Jesus said, I don't condemn you either. Go. From now on, don't sin. Don't sin. And so I want you to know again in Romans 8 also, there is therefore now no condemnation. God does not desire for you to condemn yourself. God does not desire for you to walk around in condemnation and low self-esteem, low God esteem. I'm trying to change that. And understand that shame can be toxic. Shame can be just as toxic as what you're going through in the domestic violence. And you perhaps are asking the question, why would you say that, Pastor Pierce? And the reason why I'm saying that is because it brings such toxic behavior. It brings such detrimental behavior upon you from the shame. Not in a volatile way, but it's the shame that eats from the inside out. Shame eats from the inside out. It's eating away at your peace. Hello, somebody. It's eating away at your confidence in God. This is the confidence that I have in him, that if I ask anything according to his will, he'll hear me. Shame eats up that confidence in God. And so it eats you up from the inside out. And so you want to be mindful. You want to make sure that the shame, that it doesn't have a toxic behavior or a toxic residue and that it's not eating away at you. Shame can stop you from being able to stand up and do what you need to do, to be able to return back to school. It can isolate you and freeze you in a place where you're not doing what you need to do as far as moving out in God and doing what the Lord would have you to do. So we have to begin to look at that. We have to begin to look at that. And so as we're looking at our scriptures and as we're doing what God would desire for us to do, we have to begin to look at the fact that who shame is. Identify the shame that you're going through in your life. Identify it and begin to get to a point and a place of saying that this thing will not hold me captive. This thing will not hold me in bondage, but I'll be free from it. And I want you to understand that the shame, even though we're talking about it from the aspect of domestic violence, when we talk about domestic violence, perhaps shame has come across to you in other areas of your life as well. And so you definitely want to begin to look at it and begin to identify it and begin to walk in who you know God has made you to be. God has made you to be above and not beneath. God has made you to be the head and not the tail. And these are the premises that God has given unto us in the Word of God. And so as we begin to look at it, we need to understand of how do I get to a point of working through the sin of shame. You have to realize that nothing you do can surprise God. Nothing that's happened to you surprises God. And then understand that God still loves you. And when you understand that God still loves you, because one of the things that I found myself, I felt like I had let down my children. I felt like I had let God down. And I was just really, shame again was eating me up from the inside out and to a point of paralyzing me. I didn't want to do anything at church. You know, one thing about me as a psalmist, if you will, as a praiser, as a worshiper, was that I found consolement and I found strength when I sang. And I was a person at church who sang and was the song Praise Your Way Through definitely was my mantra, because it was then when I sang, when I worshiped the Lord, that I found myself in a place isolated with Him, and I can feel His presence. But then when I wasn't singing, or when I'm back in the abuse, then I found myself beginning to question who I was in God. And so I want you, whoever you are, who I'm speaking to on tonight, I don't want you to be in a place where you're questioning God's presence in your life. I want you to know that according to His word in the book of Matthew, He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Now, that could bring you to a point of saying, well, if you'll never leave me or forsake me, then why am I going through domestic violence? And that's a question that many, many have asked. Many have asked, and if I had to give an answer to it, Job, who lost everything, and God allowed it. Hello, somebody. God allowed it to happen, but the end result was that God got the glory from the situation. You may say that's really, really not an answer for me. Why would God allow me to go through this thing? Myself, my personal testimony, if I can just give it, would be that I made the choice. I made a conscientious decision to marry whom I married. I made a conscientious decision not to see the red flags that were evident, that were flashing like a neon sign. I disregarded them. I found myself, I married because I didn't want to be living a life of sin, and so I got married, and I got married quick. There are a whole lot of scenarios could give, or a whole lot of reasons, but I think that when we talk about it, I'm definitely not trying to blame you for it. Don't get me wrong, but I want us to not blame God for it as well. Amen. Don't blame God for what you're going through. But look to God as the resource and the help that can bring you out of that situation or that circumstance. Amen. We've got to get to a place where we don't hate God. We've got to get to a place that God sees all and He knows all. God has gotten the rap for a lot of bad things, and domestic violence is not something that God ordained, nor did He institute it. It is something that comes from the enemy. And so we've got to stop blaming God for domestic violence and put the onus where it should be. Domestic violence is something that is spawned from the devil. Hello, somebody. And we need to put him on trial. If you want to put somebody on trial or blame somebody or prosecute somebody, then let's prosecute the right person. And the source of domestic violence is stemmed from the devil. I'm not trying to make this no cast out a demon kind of a thing. I really am not. If that's what you need to do, get the casting. But I want us to understand that God did not put you in a domestic violence situation, but that God is guarding you even in that situation. God is your very present help in the time of trouble. Oh, I feel that thing on today. And so as I begin to look at it, we have to understand that God is not shocked, but that God still loves us. We have to realize that the very ones that make us feel shame have their own skeletons in their closet. We talked about a perpetrator and the signs of an abuser, and we talked about how oftentimes an abuser is somebody who has some themselves, and they bring it out through violence. They're trying to deal with some situations themselves, and they bring it out through violence. Perhaps they're a person who's abusing drugs, who's abusing alcohol, for whatever the reason. These are some of the things, and it's coming out through domestic violence. But they are dealing with some things themselves, and so they have their own skeleton. Realize that my issue is no better or no worse than everyone else's issue. You know, sometimes the enemy can get us to a place of feeling like, you know, that why me syndrome, why am I going through this, why am I, and when you talk about domestic violence, we talk about every minute one and three women will be abused. We talk about one in four women being abused, even in the household of faith. So there are others with you. Not that you're getting strength from the numbers, but I want you to know that you're not alone and that there are others who want to stand up and get out of the same situation that you're in. But don't let shame hold you captive to saying, why me, God? And it keeps you, again, it makes you a prisoner in your own mind. And then it invites that why me syndrome to party with you. That's one of the guests that comes in from shame. Hello, somebody. Mm-hmm. And so you have to realize that. Realize that God's passion is not to condemn you, but to deliver you. God desires that you be delivered. He desires that you be delivered from shame. He desires that you be delivered from your domestic violence situation. God is with you. Again, Matthew 28, he said, I will never leave you. And lo, I'll be with you always, ends of the world. And so I just want you to draw on your strength from God. Draw on your strength from God. Begin to call out to God. He said, while you are yet calling, I will answer you. And get the strength that you need. Get the strength that you need to first eradicate that shame and give you that turbo boost that you need from the Holy Ghost to begin to get up and take charge of that situation so that you can become free. You can become free of the shame and you can become free of the domestic violence abuse. Realize that God's passion is to forgive you of your sin. And I want you to begin to look at the shame as sin. I want you to begin to view that thing as sin. And if you're like me, a person that loves God with my whole heart and my desire was to live for him, to come to the realization that shame was something that was a sin, it was something that I knew I needed to get rid of. I knew that I needed to share myself free of the shame and the condemnation. I knew that I needed to share myself free of the shame along with the condemnation and begin to receive the agape love of God, to begin to receive, if you will, his justification, begin to receive the thing that God had for me, that he desired for me to come out of that thing. And so I adjure you on today, whomever you are, to begin to receive it. Don't just hold on to it, but see it as sin. See it as something that you need to get rid of and begin to step out of it and step into the place that God has for you on today. Realize that God's passion is change you of your lifestyle. He wants you to be free. He wants you to be happy. The word of God says that Jesus came that our joy might be full. My God, to glory. And domestic violence does not bring joy. It doesn't bring joy. And if it does, it only brings it on the cycle where he's trying to make up for you from the time that he hit you. And so we have to begin to look at it. We have to begin to look at it, that Jesus Christ came that our life, that our joy might be full. He said that I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so as we begin to look at those scriptures, God desires you to change. God desires that you go through and that you receive the best that he has. Realize that God's passion is to spend eternity with you. God desires to spend not just eternity. I don't even want to get to a point where we're just thinking about heaven. I want us to think about the scripture that says that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So I want you to get to a place where, a mindset rather, where you understand that you want to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I want you to know that where you are right now is not your end. Hallelujah, Jesus. Where you are right now is not your end. Amen. God says in the Bible, the word of God says, I know the plans I have towards you. I know the things that I think towards you. And they are things of good and not of evil to bring you to a perfected end. So where you are right now, that's not your end. Perfected end is your end. The goodness is you are a Hallelujah. You are a person with purpose. And so you've got to begin to press into a place of purpose. You've got to begin to walk in the place that God has ordained. He said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Begin to walk the path that God has ordained for you to walk. My God, hallelujah. Amen. And so again, as we begin to look at it, we have to walk not after flesh, but we have to walk after the Spirit. And so we have to begin to do it the way God desires for us to do it. We've got to begin to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know our labor is not in vain. We've got to begin to pursue some things. I just desire, even now, those of you who are listening, who I am talking to, I desire for you to stand up and be who you need to be in the Lord on today. For you to be free of the shame, for you to be free of all guilt and shame, and for you to walk in the newness of who God has ordained you to be. I know that it is possible. I know that it is possible because of the fact that God raised me up from that place. He raised me up from that place. And so shame, again, is toxic. It can bring in a lot of things. People who are trying to get rid of shame also can turn to alcohol, also can turn to other means to try to self-medicate themselves as to not to feel the shame. And we don't ever want you to get to that place in your life. We want you to know that Jesus desires that you be free. Jesus desires that you come out of that thing and that you come out of it wholeheartedly. So don't ever feel like you're drowning. Don't ever feel like, you know, you've been set to this place in life. Don't ever feel like that. But know that God desires, He desires, again, that your joy may be full. I want to talk to somebody right now who's going through domestic violence, and perhaps you don't see joy nowhere. That you've been in a situation so long, you've forgotten what joy even looks like. On today, to tell you that the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength, not shame. And I wanted to stop by. I want to encourage you on today to begin to seek God's joy. Pastor, how can I seek God's joy? You can seek God's joy even in what you're in, even in what you're going through, as you retreat and you begin to read God's word, as you begin to find out what God has to say about you, as you begin to get your identity back, because domestic violence has stolen your God identity. But as you begin to read God's word and find out who you are in God, and you begin to get your life back through your identity in God, and He begins to raise you up in a new place in Him, He begins to raise up your mindset in who He is. And who He is. God is doing a new thing. God is doing a marvelous thing in you. So I just want to encourage you, my sister. I just want to encourage you, whomever it is that perhaps is going through domestic violence, I just want to encourage you to get your God identity back. Your God identity back. Perhaps you are a person who wants to go to school, or you want to, you know, you're just trying to do some things for yourself. I want you to know that that's God's desire for you as well. Hallelujah, Jesus. So, my God. And so I just want you to understand and to turn away and begin to step into the place that God would have you to be, that you would step into the place that God has ordained for you to be in, that you will begin to step out of the falsely accusing God for what you're going through and begin to place the onus where it is. Remember in the Bible, when we read again the scriptures about Job, and God asked Satan, what are you doing? He said, I'm just going to and fro in the earth trying to seek who I can devour. He states it. He lets it be known that that's what his job is. In the New Testament, the Bible says he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what he comes to do. And he's trying to steal your worth. He's trying to destroy your confidence. And he's trying to just make you be a person that God has not created you to do. Again, he wants to steal, to destroy. But I am has come. Can I just say it like that? The I am has come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. If you've given up, if you've given up and said, oh, well, you're just going to kill me in this thing, and if I die, so be it, let me die. I adjure you right now to shake that thing off of you and to rise up and begin to know that there is hope. There is hope. Hallelujah. And I no pun intended, but there is hope. And your hope lies in the resurrected power of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So if you are carrying the weight of shame, Jesus is calling you to give that burden to him and to rest in a new identity given you. Because of shame, you may feel unqualified to speak truth in areas where you have influence. Whether you are a Bible teacher or a neighbor or employee or a stay-at-home mama, you can lead others. Don't allow shame to silence you. Don't allow shame and don't allow domestic violence to silence you. But instead, live in the freedom of Jesus Christ. Live in his grace. And it eradicates shame. Don't use shame to motivate yourself or those you lead. Point people to Jesus who conquered shame. Remember, Jesus died on the cross so we wouldn't have to feel ashamed. Jesus shedded his blood in seven places. And I just believe in my own mind that he shedded his blood so that you don't have to go through the shame. He took the ridicule of people when he was carrying the cross. He took the ridicule and the hatred of people when he carried the cross so that you don't have to take the ridicule. You don't have to take the shame to begin to understand that there is no record of a violent action other than the reaction to shame of humiliation. There is no record of a violent action other than as a reaction to shame or to humiliation. Don't react. Don't become shameful of what you're going through, but release that shame, release that guilt over to Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I just want to stop at this point and just adjure you to, if you will, email us. You can email us at hopealliancinc.com or healing at Hope Alliance. You can email us at healing at Hope Alliance. If you have any questions or if you need some assistance, you're definitely welcome to email us. If you want to respond to what we've been talking about on tonight, you definitely, again, can email us. We also would appreciate it if you would go and like us. Like our Facebook page. Like our Facebook page, Hope Alliance Inc. on Facebook. We would appreciate that as well. What we're going to get ready to do at this particular moment is we're going to get ready to go into prayer. We're going to begin to pray. And Hope Alliance definitely is founded upon the belief that Jesus Christ is Lord and that Jesus Christ is our Savior. And there are sometimes when I wrestle with myself and I try not to, like, come on and be the preacher, but I am who I am. And the actual thing, I was actually discussing that on today with my ex-husband, and we were talking about some things, and yes, this was the same one who was the perpetrator. We're very good friends. We've come to be cordial with each other. We know how to have a conversation. We've both repented to each other, and God has made that thing right. And I say this as a testimony of what God can do, how God can bring something that the enemy meant for bad, how the enemy meant for him to hate me and for me to hate him. And God says, not so. If you, too, will allow my love to cover, love can cover. And I said that because I can honestly say that this was a person whom I thought I would never be able to befriend. The love of God that's shed abroad in my heart. Hallelujah, Jesus. Allow me to be able to be open enough to forgive him, and for us to become friends. We have a better friendship now than we did even in a marriage. And so I thank and I praise God to be able to say that. So we were talking today on the phone, and he kept trying to say something, and he would say, how's the weather? And I would say something like, this is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. And he was like, don't you even know how to converse without saying that? God is a part of me, and I can't separate God from me. We're one. And so I just adjure you, if you would have allow God to come in and let God to begin to cover the wounds, the emotional scarring, the hurt, the bruises, and whatever it is, and the shame. If you would allow God to come in and cover the shame, he would do just that. God can come in and God can cover a multitude of faults, a multitude of hurts, a multitude of wounds. God can cover it. And so as we begin to pray, and we begin to seek God on today, I just want you to prepare yourself to pray with me on today. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come now before your sight and before your presence, oh God. We come, oh Father God, because we speak now, God, and decree now, God, that you, oh God, are the ruler. You are the ruler over everything, oh Lord God. You are the ruler and you know all things, oh Lord God. All things are known to you, Father. So we come on today, God, on behalf of those who are listening. We come on today on behalf of those who would even listen to this broadcast, oh Lord God, for them to begin to understand, oh Lord, that you have no respect of persons, oh Lord God, and that if you forgave the woman and told her to go and sin no more, God, in the Bible, God, when she was caught in the very act of adultery, God, you said that you wouldn't condemn her, oh God. So, Father, I just pray for those who are listening on this line, oh God, that they understand that you would not condemn them, that there is therefore now no condemnation to them, God, and that you make it not ashamed, oh Lord God. So, God, I just pray now in the name of Jesus that your blood would begin to cover, that it would begin to cover every wounded area that has brought forth shame, God, that it would begin to cover every verbal abusive word that have ever been spoken to them, that they will begin to rise up and know who they are and receive their identity in you, oh Father God. I pray now, God, that the blood will begin to cover, oh Lord God, and that it will cover every wound, every bruise, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. I pray now that the blood will begin to cover, oh Lord God, and that it will cover, oh Lord God, those who are around them, God, if they have children, oh Lord God, that it will cover, oh Lord God, what they've had to see, oh Lord God, what they've had to hear, oh Lord God, that you will begin, oh Lord God, to erase even the very things that they had to hear as children, oh Lord God, that you will begin to cover, let your blood cover now, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh Lord God. So we lift up families before you, oh Lord God. We lift up those, God, who are perpetrators, oh Lord God. We pray now in the name of Jesus, God, that you would quicken them, God, to get the help that's needed, oh Lord God. We pray now for pastors, oh Lord God, that they will begin to speak about domestic violence behind the pulpit, oh Lord God, that they will hold deacons, oh Lord God, accountable, that they will hold, oh God, musicians accountable, that they will hold, oh God, the layperson accountable, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God, and that we will begin to minister to them in their places of hurt, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God, that we will begin to uncover the skeletons, oh God, that are hidden in the closets of homes, oh Father, in the name of Jesus, that we will begin, oh God, to answer the cry of those who are in the pew, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. God, I lift up this situation, oh God, this thing, oh Lord God, that has found itself rearing in the church, God, we lift it up now, in the name of Jesus. We lift it up now, God, that your blood will begin to cover, God,
glory, oh God. Cover, God. Oh, yeah, God. In the name of Jesus, cover, oh God. In the name of Jesus Christ, God, take away the shame and take away the humiliation, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I pray for those, God, who have grown up, who experienced domestic violence, oh Lord God, and have grown up, oh Lord God, to become a perpetrator, or grown up, oh Lord God, still passive, oh God, still hurting from that thing, oh God. We pray for them now in the name of Jesus Christ, God. We pray, God, your word, God, because you said that you know the plans that you have towards them, and that there are plans of good and not of evil to bring them to a perfected end, God. So we pray now, God, that they be released from the prison of their own man, oh Lord God, and that they'll step into their perfected end, oh God. In the name of Jesus Christ, God, we pray now, oh Lord God. We pray now, God, that everyone who has been held, who is bound, oh Lord God, that you will release and set the captives free, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, God, we bind the enemy, every foul and evil spirit, oh God, that would try to keep them under arrest, oh Lord God, and we speak their freedom now, oh Lord God. Your word said, who the Son sets free, hallelujah, it's free indeed. So, God, we just thank you for that freedom. Hallelujah, God. We thank you for that freedom even now, God, in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. We thank you, oh Lord God, for the new places, oh Lord God, for the new heights, oh God, for the new territory, oh Lord God, that you're going to bring them into, Father. We thank you now, oh Lord God. We thank you for taking away the disgrace, oh God. We thank you for taking away the shame, oh Lord God. We thank you that they're now being washed in the blood of the Lamb, oh God. So we thank you, and we praise you the more and the more. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray, and we count this prayer as done by faith. By faith. By faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Amen. So we just again thank you for listening to this radio broadcast. We thank you so much for tuning in. The scriptures, as a reminder for you, you want to write down Psalms 25 verses 1 through 5, and you want to begin to meditate that. You want to look at John the 8th chapter. You want to meditate on the fact that God says that he does not condemn you. You want to begin to go back and look at Romans 8, where he tells you there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, and you just want to begin to be released from the shame. We do look forward to your testimonies and your praise reports as you begin to step out and venture into new territories, into new lands that God has chosen for you, and we look forward to hearing from you on next week as we begin to venture into the next level, as we begin to talk some more about being healed from the residue of being healed from going through domestic violence, as we begin to confront some issues and some inner voices that are going on with us, and as we have our own spiritual awakening, as we step out of this thing, amen, as we step out of this thing into new territories. So I just want you to be encouraged to know that God has the power to heal. God has the power to restore. God has the power to restore marriages. He has the power to restore families. He has the power to bring functionality to what is otherwise known as dysfunctional. Come on, somebody. Amen. God has the power to do it. And so as we rely on him, as we rely on him and turn our face toward him, we must feel from whence cometh our help, and all of our help comes from the Lord. Amen. Thank you again for joining us. This has been Pastor Katie Pierce with Hope Alliance, Inc., and Breaking the Silence. We look forward to your joining us again on next week. And until then, may God's greatest and God's best be yours. Good night, everyone.